This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 198, Bitter or Better.
Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Building Resilience Podcast. How is everybody doing? How are you transitioning into this fall? I hope that you have been enjoying the podcast. And if you have been, if you found it helpful, I would love for you to share it with a couple of friends. And if you're feeling even more generous, then please go and leave me a review, because sharing and leaving a review helps me to reach more people. And that, of course, is my goal. So thank you in advance for your generosity. Now, today, I want to talk about, it's kind of a cliche saying, and I've heard variations of it. It goes something like you have a challenge or you're faced with an adversity, maybe something bad has happened, and you're trying to handle it, you're trying to figure out how to manage it, how to limit its impact, because we know that everything we do in life is shaping us. That is the power of neuroplasticity, right? Every experience we have shapes us and can change us, but it works both ways. Every experience can shape us for the better or for the worse. And while some things do just happen to us, we know, as we've talked about on the podcast before, we are the creators of our responses. So the cliche saying is, will this make me bitter or better? And honestly, I don't like the idea of feeling like something makes you do something, because to me, that is not empowering. Like, I don't have a choice. And we know that one of the fundamental principles for a healthy nervous system is we need choice. So I prefer to say, will I choose to become bitter or better? Will the response I choose invite me to be bitter or better, or even lead me to be bitter or better, suggesting more of a journey? Now, let's break things down by what I mean by becoming bitter versus better. When adversity strikes, whether it's a tough experience, a failure, a rejection, or a deep emotional wound, I do believe that we have a choice. And for simplicity's sake, we will say that we're left with two choices. But I actually think there's like a million variations in between, a million shades of gray. But let's keep it simple. We are left with two choices. We can either let it weigh us down, becoming bitter, resentful, and stuck, or we could use it as a stepping stone to grow, become stronger, better, and more resilient. So being bitter kind of means things like holding on to the negatives that surround the challenge we have, the unpleasant feelings, the negative thoughts, the limited mindset. To me, it's heavy. It's like walking around with a heavy backpack that we're picking up every single day. And maybe initially it does make sense to carry around the backpack because we may be in the adversity or the challenge. So we may carry around things like hurt and anger and blame. And of course, none of these emotions are bad. They're all normal human emotions. So we do want to validate that when we're going through things, it's completely normal to feel dysregulated, to feel unpleasant feelings, to think unhelpful thoughts, or maybe even catastrophic thoughts. And it's important that we allow them and feel them. But it is if we get stuck in them that they can impact us. So back when I think about going through my divorce, I was certainly every single day picking up a heavy backpack, grief, anger, resentment, blame, shame, all sorts of fun emotions. But at some point, I did have to decide whether I wanted to keep carrying this backpack around because it was heavy. And was it serving me anymore? And did I have a choice? Now, remember, your nervous system gives you the lens through which you view the world. But your nervous system is also taking in what's going around you, what's going on inside you, and what's going on between us. So it can be like a feedback loop. If we can feel negative, that can fuel the state that we're in, maybe that will keep us in fight or flight or shutdown or team hyper or team hypo. And then once we're in team hyper or team hypo, that state further fuels our thoughts and emotions. So we always want to be asking ourselves, what am I fueling my nervous system with? Our bodies can interpret ongoing negativity and bitterness as a constant threat. And then because we believe, or our body, our nervous system believes that we're in a constant state of threat, it will keep us on high alert, making us more reactive, more defensive. And that could lead to shutdown. And of course, when we're in a dysregulated state, whether it's a state of activation or a state of shutdown, our CEO checks out. Our ability to think clearly and respond creatively is diminished. So while we want to allow all emotions, we welcome all emotions, we actually don't want to label some emotions as good or bad. We want to acknowledge that some emotions just serve us better than others. And while it's very human of me to have negative thoughts, it can at times not be very helpful. And there may come a point where I want to stop and ask, what kind of life do I want to create? Now, it comes back to this idea of, are you a victim to your circumstances or a creator of your responses? And you may want to go back and check out some of the episodes I've done in the past about being victim and agent and victim or creators. I talked about the drama triangle as well. So go back and listen to those episodes. But if you stay in a victim mindset, like we talked about in those episodes. Now, I'm not saying that there are not times where you actually are a victim. Bad things can happen to you that are not your fault, and you're not to blame. But I do want to offer the question whether taking on the role of victim as part of your identity is truly going to serve you. Now, I think at times we try to search for reasons for things. There's a saying that everything happens for a reason. It can be comforting for some people, depending on what the everything is. But some things we may not be able to see what the reason is. There's so many tragedies and illnesses and losses that, to me, honestly, it's hard to find the reason. And I may not believe that there's actually a reason, or at least maybe it's going to take me a long time to discover the reason. And it can actually make me feel worse to have a thought like that. Something that resonates more for me is the idea that even though I may never find a reason or understand a reason, I can create meaning. I can allow whatever has happened, and I can create something out of the adversity. I can do something with the mess. And that's where I believe the better part of become bitter or better comes in. Choosing to become better, transforming that adversity into fuel for growth, becoming that creator of our responses. Instead of focusing on the problem or the loss or the inability to change a circumstance, we want to focus on the potential for growth, finding a path forward, a solution. What can I create out of the mess that I have? Maybe I can't find meaning in this, but can I create meaning? And this, of course, is where resilience comes in. Instead of letting challenges shrink you, you just let them stretch you. And this approach to this process engages your nervous system in a much healthier way. When you decide to work through the discomfort, your nervous system learns that it can handle a bit of stress. And it can even bounce back stronger. And this is how we build capacity, how we widen that zone of resilience. Now, I've shared with you before the story of Michael Caine. He shared a really great story years ago on an interview back in 2002. And he shared one of his philosophies in life is to use the difficulty. And I'll share with you what he said. He said, I was rehearsing a play when I was a young actor, and I had to come into the scene, and it was a stage play. And he was behind the flats waiting to open the door, and there was an improvised scene that was going on between a husband and wife inside, and they got carried away, and they started throwing things, and they threw a chair, and it lodged the doorway that Michael Caine was supposed to go through. So as he went to open the door, and he just got his head around, and he said, like, I'm sorry, I just can't get in. and to the director. And the director said, well, what do you mean? And so Michael Caine said, there's a chair there. And the director said, well, use the difficulty. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, if it's a comedy, then fall over the chair. If it's a drama, pick it up and smash it. Just use the difficulty. And Michael Caine went on to say that he took that into his own life. And he shared with his kids, we've got to use the difficulty. How can we work? What can we get out of this? Use the difficulty. There's never anything so bad that you cannot use the difficulty. If you can use it a quarter of 1% to your advantage, you're ahead. You didn't let it get you down. And that was his philosophy, to use the difficulty. I love that philosophy so, so much. I think it's so good because it does remind us that adversity isn't something to shy away from. It's something to leverage. Whether it's a mistake, a setback, or a tough life situation, you can use the difficulty to inform your next move. It's really about shifting your perspective from this is happening to me to this is happening for me, because that's really where the growth happens. Now, another powerful concept that I love is making the mess your message, because life is messy. We all will go through struggles. But when we transform our mess into something meaningful, we give it purpose. And this is particularly healing for your nervous system because you're no longer stuck in the chaos. You're using it to create that story of resilience and strength and connection. And this shift allows your nervous system to find safety and meaning in adversity rather than feeling threatened by it. So maybe you agree with me that you want to go with better, not bitter, as an ideal. And again, we need to be able to allow ourselves to be bitter and to accept all the feelings. But often we come to a point where we ask, do I still want to be here? Do I like being in this spot? So I want to give you some ways, some tools that we can use to help us practically shift from bitter to better. And the first one, we've already talked about it a little bit, is to really feel your feelings, but don't get stuck. Are you sick of me saying feel your feelings yet? It's natural and normal to feel angry and sad and frustrated when things don't go our way or really bad things happen or where we feel that there has been unfairness. But the key is not getting stuck there. We want to acknowledge your feelings without judgment, but then allow them to pass through your system. So kind of thinking of it like a wave. It rises, it peaks, and it eventually falls. Let your nervous system experience the emotion fully, but then allow yourself to move on too. And remember that sometimes the waves are massive and overbearing, and sometimes the water is calm. Nothing stays constant. Things will pass. We have ups and downs, so it's okay to allow ourselves to feel it all. The second thing we can do is we can reframe the narrative. After you allow yourself to feel, normalize how you feel, then you may want to check in and ask yourself, based on your values, your mission, your purpose, how do you want to be? How do you want to show up? Who are you? Who is your future self? It's important to check in because our values can help us decide if you want to try to change your response. And that can lead to deciding that you want to reframe how you're thinking about the situation. So maybe instead of asking, why is this happening to me? Ask, what can I learn from this? Or how can this make me stronger? Maybe there is no reason or some big lesson you're supposed to learn. Maybe there is. Sometimes it can really feel unnecessary and random. But you still always have the choice to reframe it, because maybe if it helps just feel a little bit better or helps ease the heaviness, there's nothing wrong with trying to make things a little bit lighter and easier. So we can try to reframe, which can help shift your nervous system, can help you regulate, and can help you go from survival mode to a state of curiosity and openness, which is found in that zone of resilience. When you are regulated, you can then tell your brain that this is not a huge threat, but an opportunity for growth. And again, you can only do that when you're in that zone of resilience. Now, thirdly, you want to surround yourself with support. Community is a huge part of resilience. We need connection. We heal in connections. We need each other. Sometimes you need someone, and sometimes somebody needs you. This is often one of the points of belonging to a community. Maybe it's a church community or a club or a neighborhood community. And often we may ask, like, should I join this or not? Like, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of it? Maybe everyone is different than me. Maybe I don't feel inspired all the time. But I like to remind myself that what I get from community is only part of it. What I have to offer, what someone can gain simply by having me there to listen or support or lend a hand, is part of the community process. When we have people who support us, or when we're able to provide support for other people, we're sending our nervous system signs of safety. When we are with others, we can share our stories, we can get perspective, and we allow others to help you process whatever it is you're going through. And you do the same for other people. This will help keep that bitterness at bay and really encourage that betterment. The fourth thing is, I want to encourage you to really take action. Doesn't matter how small the action is. When you're struck with challenge or adversity, it can feel really paralyzing. But even the tiniest step towards a solution, towards a creation, can remind your nervous system that you are in control. Remember, the nervous system likes choices. So give it a choice. We can do this or this. We're able to impact our feelings. We can choose bitter or better. That is within our control. What can I do to make this just 1% better? What can I do right now to make my day a little bit better? Think of that right now as you're listening to this podcast. What can you do right now to make your day a little bit better? So that when I lie in bed tonight at 10:30 p.m., what can I look back on and be happy that I did? What can I do that was an investment in my future self? Because this builds confidence and a sense of agency, shifts you from being that victim and into a place of empowerment. And of course, the fifth thing, we can't finish the podcast without talking about practicing self-compassion. Be gentle with yourself. You're human, and adversity is a part of life. When you're kind to yourself, especially in these difficult times, it actually soothes the nervous system, helps us reduce our stress hormones, and it can help us increase our ability to bounce back. So practicing self-compassion will help you turn these challenges into opportunities for growth rather than letting them harden you. So we know adversity is inevitable. How we respond to it, though, is entirely up to us. We can let it define us in a negative way. We can become bitter and resentful, or we can use it as fuel for our growth and our resilience, becoming better. And of course, the choice is not just a mental one. It has real, tangible effects on your nervous system and your overall ability to thrive in life. So I want to encourage you, the next time you face a challenge, use the difficulty. Turn the mess into your message. And let every challenge be a stepping stone toward a more resilient version of you. I hope you found this helpful, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.